Welcome to episode 64 of Published. Today we're talking to Greenleaf's general counsel, Guy Muller, about the biggest legal issues he sees authors face and why it's important to keep an eye out for them when working on your book. Guy explains each of these legal concerns, why they matter, and how you can avoid them in your writing to stay out of trouble.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. While legal issues aren't fun to think about, it's important for any author to be educated about them in order to avoid costly issues down the road. This episode focuses on some of the biggest legal challenges facing authors and publishers and how you can avoid them on the front end. Guy tells us about defamation, invasion of privacy, copyright violations, and trademark problems that authors commonly run into so that you know what to look for when you're dealing with tricky content yourself. Legal issues can sideline a book's progress and become a big headache for an author. You can also face serious legal ramifications if you're publishing independently and not going through the proper checks before putting your book out into the world. Today, Guy will go over what these issues are and why they can be a real problem for authors and publishers if not addressed. He'll also tell us how to look out for each issue and hopefully avoid incurring any legal risk when publishing your book. Let's get into the interview.
Guy, welcome to Published.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely thrilled to have you today. Maybe start by telling us who you are and what you do at Greenleaf.
Yeah, I'm Guy Muller. I'm the general counsel over here at Greenleaf Book Group. I handle all things legal. I get to handle all the contracts, the negotiations, draftings. Of course, you know, we're the bread and butter over here is really looking at these manuscripts and checking and make sure that there's not things that's going to get us sued or, you know, our author sued. So content liability reviews, we're looking for all kinds of stuff, red flags that might get us in trouble down the road. And my main job is to keep us out of the courts, keep us from getting sued.
And you have a stellar record so far.
Hey, I know. Let's keep it that way.
Right. So you mentioned red flags. What are some of the legal red flags that might either prevent a publisher from taking on a project or get an author into trouble down the road?
Yeah, for sure. I think the main thing that we see and a lot of authors have issues with are issues like defamation, invasion of privacy, copyright infringement, trademark infringement. And really what those are, defamation is whenever you're talking about somebody and their statements that's not true. And it, you know, it's really damaging to the person that you're talking about. That's a very high level definition of defamation. I'm not going to get too much into the weeds on that because it's kind of hard to actually determine what is defamation. And the same with invasion of privacy, you know, stuff that people expect to be private information and they expect it not to be released into the public and things that can really harm their reputation. That's what we look for that. Copyright infringement, trademark, it's a little bit more clear to see that, you know, with creative works and things that like photographs or quoting from books or lyrics, things like that. We look for a lot of that content and we try to see if there's anything that we can do to clean up that, whether it's through getting releases, permissions, or modifying the content to lower the risk with things like defamation, invasion of privacy.
And so that authors understand the seriousness of being careful here, what are the consequences they might face if they ran into trouble with one of these issues that you've just described?
Yeah, I mean, the most obvious is you can get sued, and that's never fun. Nobody ever likes getting sued. So if you do get in trouble for some of this, somebody can make a claim, they can sue you for damages. There's all kinds of damages that you might be liable for. There's actual damages, things called special damages, punitives, which are, I like to think about it in a way of like, hey, this is a punishment for what you did. And we're trying to make it clear to society that you did something wrong. And we want to make sure we're deterring this conduct in the future by other people. Those are punitives. And also in some situations, you might also be liable for things like attorney's fees, court costs. And a lot of that stuff can actually be a lot worse and a lot more money than the actual damages in the case. So those are the obvious ones. Now, of course, you also, you know, you might have to delay publication of your book. If your book is out there and you work real hard to get it out there and meet all these publication deadlines, and the next thing you know, you get a claim for defamation, you got to pull those books back. You got to make sure they're not out there being distributed at that point. You may have to actually destroy all these books, which can cost a lot of money. You know, let's say it's a, you know, you went gung-ho and you got a bestseller run. You just printed 10,000 copies of a book. And then next thing you know, somebody hits you on a claim for any of this stuff, and you got to pull back all of those and then possibly destroy them. That can get very, very expensive very fast.
For sure. And yep. Like you said, just a major interruption to what we all know is already the lengthy journey of publishing a book.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not fun. Having to put things on hold and try to clear that up. And then if you get involved in an actual court case and it's, you know, you're having to actively litigate it, then that can take a long time. So nobody wants that.
Now, a lot of authors who are writing, let's say, memoir or nonfiction are probably at some point going to be referencing other people and other people's business, especially in memoir. I know we've seen a lot of this lately. When is that a legal issue?
You know, it really gets problematic whenever the content starts getting really negative. If somebody is talking about someone and it's something where it's like, man, you know, they're really going into detail about something bad that happened to them or some type of negative situation, and they're making this person look very, very bad, you know, harming their reputation or exposing them for some stuff that they did. Those are areas that we have to flag, and we have to, you know, make sure that we take the proper approach to mitigate getting sued or facing any claims on that. And so what we really look for there, especially if it's something like defamation, you know, we're trying to verify whether or not these statements that the authors make are true or not. And of course, a lot of times we can't do that, or it's, you know, very, very sensitive information. And you know, we want to believe our authors and take it at face value, and things that just, you know, sometimes you just can't actually prove it. But, you know, what we try to do there and look out for in those types of books and works is make sure that, hey, you know what? Let's verify truth. Let's stick to our research here. If we can actually verify it, that's great, because that will clear up defamation issues. And then we also look at other stuff like for invasion of privacy. If it's negative, it's going to harm. It looks like it might harm somebody's reputation. You know, we really have to look at that, and we got to see if there's anything that we can do to mitigate that. You know, with those approaches, really, you know, you could go out, you can get releases, you can get certain things like that where somebody might say, hey, I'm not going to sue you for this. I'm going to release all these claims. But if you're going out there, you're actually publishing information that's harmful to somebody's reputation, or if it's true and you're talking about all this bad stuff this person did, the odds of getting a release in those situations are slim to none. So that's why it's like, okay, we really got to look at it. We got to verify the truth of this stuff, or we got to make sure it's not private information that's gone out here in the public. And if, you know, there's nothing else we can do, then we look at the content. We see if it can be modified in any way to obscure the person's identity, to make it to where the amount of people in the world that can actually identify this person is as small as possible. So that, you know, not everybody is out there just reading it, knowing exactly who you're talking about. You know, we're trying to make sure that it's, you know, there's only a very, very small amount of people, hopefully nobody, that can actually recognize it. So, it's really the main things we look for there, especially memoirs and stuff, is, you know, if it's negative information, things that's sensitive information, stuff like health, stuff about finances, sexual orientation, sexual activities, things like that, that we really look out for.
Got it. And now switching gears to what we call permissions, authors often want to use, let's say, song lyrics or quotes or images from someone else's work. And as we know, we have to flag that as well. So how does an author do that correctly?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of difficult, because a lot of that stuff, you know, a lot of authors think like, oh, hey, I'm quoting this person, or I'm quoting this little bitty lyric right here, and I'm giving credit to the author or the musician, and they think it's okay. And it seems like it would be. A lot of times it might be, but the thing you have to look out for is a lot of that stuff is copyrighted, and it's you know, it's a property. So if you're quoting, you know, using famous quotes, and it's a real small quote, and it's not making the person look bad, you might be okay and get by with it. But I always advocate for the belt and suspenders approach in a lot of this stuff. I like being very, very cautious in this. And I say, you know what, if you can get permission to use this content, that's definitely going to be the best way to go. Because permissions, they will outline how the content that you want to use, how you can use it. And of course, you know, release claims from getting sued on top of that. But, you know, you definitely got to look out for that, you know, so definitely things like quotes, even from books. If you're looking at song lyrics, you know, at least over here at Greenleaf Book Group, we always require permissions for song lyrics just because, well, I'm not going to get too much into fair use analysis or anything like that. But when you look at the amounts of a lyric in the actual entire work as a whole, and how much there actually is, you know, the lyric is a very important part of, let's say, you know, a song, which might only be, you know, I don't know, 5-10 sentences or so. So the way that copyright law works, it's like, oh, hey, that's a substantial part of that work. And you're taking quite a bit of it. So they need to go out and actually get permission for it. So we require permission every single time. You know, and if it's something like quoting from a book, or like a magazine or article, we really look at it and we see how many words are used, how much the portion of that book or that work is used. If it's a book, it's like, I think our rule of thumb here is about 300 words or so. If it's anything more than that, you got to go out and get permission from the actual copyright owner to be able to use it and publish it. If it's an article or magazine, you know, again, it's a smaller amount of material. So a smaller amount of words could be, you know, copyright infringement. So we really look at here about 50 words or so. And then if anything above that, you know, we go out and we make sure that we get permissions and everything to use all that. So really what it boils down to, quotes, lyrics, things like that. Yes, still go ahead and give credit to the person you're quoting from, but always be more safe than sorry. Go out there and get permission to use it.
Yeah, and I'll also add that it's very helpful for the publisher if the author, as they're working on their manuscript, makes a note about where they found this stuff. Because very often we'll get manuscripts full of images, especially. And when we ask them, well, where is this image from? Oh, it's from the internet.
Yep. I know, that's the thing. It happens all the time. It really does. And it's easy for people to believe, like, hey, I got it on the internet. That's public domain. It's like, no, just because it's on the internet does not mean it's public domain. There's a lot of problems there. So, if somebody wants to use any of that and they find any of it, yeah, that does, it helps your publisher. If you mark that stuff in your manuscript, if you put the source of it, and you figure all that out, and you don't have to go out and get it immediately. You know, you can write your manuscript, you can write your draft, just take note of it and realize, hey, later on, if I'm going to use this, I'm likely going to have to go and get permission to use it. But just, you know that that's a possibility and something that is likely going to be required by your publisher.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about titles. So this is kind of a tricky area. What should an author know about the law on book titles and how they could or cannot protect those?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, but titles in general cannot be trademarked or copyrighted. That's just the general rule. You know, there are exceptions, just like with all this stuff. There's tons of exceptions to this. So, you know, if you have a single book and you just published it and it's not well known or anything, you know, you're going to have a really hard time getting a trademark or copyright on that. It just, you know, generally you can't. But let's say, you know, if you have a series and it starts getting well known and it's, you know, very famous, very popular, let's say something like Goosebumps or Harry Potter, then you can go out and you can actually get a trademark for that and copyright and all that. But generally speaking, for the vast majority of what we do and what we see over here, unfortunately, can't get a trademark on it, can't get a copyright. But it is still important to know that even though you generally cannot get a trademark or copyright, your book title can still actually infringe on another person's trademark or copyright. So what we look at in there is, you know, if somebody comes to us and they want to use a certain title, we look at it and we always look it up on the United States Patent and Trademark Office website to see what's been trademarked. And we try to see if there's anything similar out there. And if there's something similar, it's the same class of goods or something that might cause a consumer to be confused and mix up your book and whoever owns the trademark, whatever goods and services they are selling. You know, if it causes somebody to think like, oh, hey, it's either endorsed by them or it's attributed or it's the same company, that's when we say, hey, you know what? You really need to think about another book title here because there might be some trademark infringement issues. So just be aware of that, that there can still be some issues there. And it's never 100% clear. So I always recommend a lawyer looking at some of that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned copyright. So at what point in the publishing process should the author be seeking copyright for their work, and why is that important?
Yeah, for sure. So copyright is it's very interesting. So you have a copyright to your work as soon as you create it and as soon as it's in an actual tangible form. But that being said, copyright registration is still very, very important. And so what we do here and what I always recommend is to actually register your copyright in the book after it's published. And I say within 3 months of publication, that's what a lot of people recommend. Because that way you have the publication date, and if you actually register it with the copyright office within 3 months of publication, then you're eligible for things like statutory damages and recovering attorney's fees, stuff like that, if somebody infringes your work. So that's huge. You know, statutory damages, kind of like we talked earlier, stuff like that can be huge, and it can be very, very important, and it can actually exceed the real damages in a case. So that, and especially attorney's fees, that can cost a lot of money as well. So you definitely want to get the copyright registered within 3 months of publication. And also something else that you need to think of too is, even though, you know, let's say you're like, oh, I don't care about statutory damages or attorney's fees or anything like that, I already have this automatic copyright to my book and I already have it in a tangible form. You still, I always recommend copyright registration anyway, because if somebody infringes your work, you can't go out and actually file a lawsuit and enforce your copyright until you file that copyright registration. So it's very important to do that so that you preserve your ability to be able to go out there and actually, you know, bring these lawsuits and against alleged infringers. And also it's great too to have a public record of ownership of your copyright. So I always advocate for it, and I'll always advocate for it within 3 months of publication.
Great. Okay. And I will also add, there's still sort of a lingering notion that you can do what's called a poor man's copyright by mailing yourself a copy of your own manuscript and using that postmark. And that is not true. Yeah. Don't do that, people.
I know. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what, that's it's creative, and I respect the people that came up with that for sure, but you know, it might help in some situations, but no, I don't advocate that at all. I like, go down there, it's pretty easy to register this stuff. You can do it online. You don't need a lawyer to do it, but again, I always recommend hiring an attorney for this type of stuff, because I mean, as an author and a creator, you spend so much time, energy, and effort making this stuff and creating this stuff. And so I think that it's really important to get a lawyer to help protect it, and not only protect you from, you know, or an infringer, but also to make sure that you're not violating anybody else's copyrights. And, you know, if you're not going to go out and get a defamation suit and hold up publication of this baby that you've been working on for so long.
Very true. Now, in the case of, let's say, true crime writers, so ongoing criminal investigations or court cases, it's kind of having a moment because of podcasts, interestingly, what should the author in that genre be sensitive to?
Yeah, for sure. And I love true crime books and podcasts. I love all that stuff. And I kind of nerd out over it because I always think about it from the attorney standpoint. I'm like, ooh, what did they do here to make sure that they're not going to get sued? The main thing, if you're writing about true crime, is to stick to the facts, stick to public record. Because, I mean, anything that's in the public, you know, fortunately, you don't have to look at invasion of privacy, or invasion of privacy is not much of a concern if it's public record. And of course, if it's true and you stick to the facts, then that takes out possibilities for defamation. You know, theoretically, you at least have a defense there. So stick to the truth, do whatever you can, document your research, you know, be very, very thorough with that stuff, because your publisher is going to ask for it. I know we do here whenever we run across those, and really pad your file with as much information as possible. And also in a lot of these books, there's a lot of interviews that take place, you know, with all kinds of people. Always, please, please, please get an interview release from whoever you interview. Do it up front. Make sure you get that thing in writing and signed. You know, sometimes you see people go out and they'll interview some subjects and they're like, you know, it's all oral agreements and nothing's in writing. It's not, there's no evidence of it anywhere. And you know, that could be okay in certain situations, but it's enough to cause me quite a bit of heartburn. And I might say, hey, you know what? I know this is your buddy out here and they gave you some kind of consent, but we're going to need you to go after the fact and get some type of release for this. Just because, you know, it's the best thing to do. And it's the, you know, the number one thing you can do to minimize getting hit on some type of claim for either infringement or defamation or invasion of privacy later on. So yep, absolutely. Stick to the facts, stick to the public record, and you should be all right.
Awesome. Now, submitting a manuscript to a publisher, that's something that we often get questions about. How do I know my work is safe? What's going to keep the publisher from, quote, stealing my work? So mm-hmm. How can an author protect themselves in that situation?
Yeah, for sure. So you can definitely get an NDA, and I would be super surprised if there was any publisher out there that didn't have their own form NDA for you to sign. I recommend if you're going to submit to a publisher, you know, ask them, go, hey, you know, do y'all have an NDA that I can sign? And go with theirs. You know, of course, review it, make sure it's up to your liking, your standards. You know, they should have their own form. And again, I would be shocked if a publisher ever said, no, we don't have our own, send us yours. I'd be kind of worried about that publisher, actually. But yeah, you know, get an NDA if you're concerned about it. But also keep in mind, too, even if you don't have an NDA, if you're submitting a manuscript, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about copyright and how you automatically have a copyright in your work as soon as it's in a tangible form. You know, you can be sure that if you send it to a publisher and then they just take it and they steal it and they copy it and they publish it and, you know, they took credit for it and they just completely stole it from you. And you're like, oh, I didn't get an NDA, and there's nothing I can do. You still have an avenue there for copyright infringement. Of course, you got to go through the process and then, you know, register and all that stuff. But there is still an avenue there, and it's something else that should make authors feel better about submitting their work. But yeah, so that's the thing. I think the easiest, the path of least resistance up front is to ask the publisher for an NDA or provide your own. But I always ask, please, 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 people be reasonable with these. I've seen some crazy ones where people, you know, it says literally everything I tell you is confidential information from now to all the time. And this never expires. There's no exceptions. You know, those are things that we take issue with. And you know, we always recommend our own, which is pretty broad. And, you know, there's exceptions and I believe it's proper and we got good ones, but just please be mindful of that. And be reasonable with those and just know that your publisher will likely have their own and they might have something to say if your NDA is a little bit too broad.
Great. Well, I know this isn't particularly sexy stuff for authors to think about, but it's so important for them to button all the stuff up on the front end. So thank you very much, Guy, for all of this. Not advice. We can't say it's advice because Guy is a lawyer and this isn't legal advice. Go out and get your own lawyer. But it is wisdom. And to that end, we appreciate you giving us all of this great information. And do you have any parting wisdom you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, for sure. And I think you hit the nail on the head with that. This is not legal advice. I wish it could be, but unfortunately it can't be. And I do think that it is important with all this. You know, this stuff can get very, very complicated. And there's really nothing that's black and white in the legal world. Most of it's in the gray area. I mean, that's where I make my living. It's in that gray area. It's in the mud. It'd be nice if it was black and white, but then again, I may not have a job. You know, everybody could look stuff up and it'd be super easy. My goal here today is not for authors to be able to make these legal decisions on their own, or to go out and practice law and to help other people be able to do this stuff. Really, it's just to give you an idea of what publishers will look out for and any possible red flags that might be in your manuscript. Because again, I touched on it earlier, you spend so much time, energy, and effort creating these works and putting it out there and publishing it. And there's a lot of times there's these works that are highly personal to people, especially if it's their own personal stories, things like that. And, you know, last thing you want to do is go out and then have to deal with, you know, kind of legal ramifications for any of this stuff. So please, please, please be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for things like invasion, defamation. Anytime you use any quotes, lyrics, images, anything like that in your book, just know that there's probably some issues there that you're going to have to come over, and there's some hurdles. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world. There's a lot of things you can do to clean that up. But the best thing you can do to make sure you sleep best at night and make sure that you're going to, you know, take the right path and you're not going to have to pull your book from the shelf and incur all these expenses later down the road is to go out and get a lawyer, get a good lawyer to look at this stuff and to help you with it. I always will recommend that. And I think every author needs to do that at some point in the process.
Well said. And thank you again for joining us. And listeners, please do button up your legal stuff.
Please, please, please.
All right. Thank you, Guy.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's it for our episode today. We hope you learned something about the legal risks of publishing a book and how to avoid them. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode64. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. It means a lot to have your feedback and helps us make sure we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishborn, who produces the published podcast, and we will be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.